You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Our Clouded Sight. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
I'd like to begin this message by wishing a happy birthday to my daughter Elizabeth. Today is her 21st birthday. Elizabeth, I wish I could be with you on campus this evening to help you celebrate. Wouldn't it be fun to celebrate your 21st birthday with your old, boring dad? Sometimes the younger generation would rather do its own thing. And sometimes the older generation insists on its own way. Either way, stubbornness between parents and children can make for big trouble. Call it intergenerational hurts. Now I'll give you a great example. A tragic example. There were terrible intergenerational hurts between parent and child in David's royal house. We're not talking here about a younger generation's birthday party plans. This is about the strained relationship between David and his son Absalom, a strained relationship that ended up in terrible hurt. 2 Samuel 13 tells us that son Absalom had killed a man named Amnon. Absalom had done that because Amnon had raped Absalom's sister Tamar. After murdering the rapist, Absalom went into a 3-year exile. The Bible does not indicate that Absalom had any contact with his father David during those 3 years. The next chapter, 2 Samuel 14, tells us that King David finally permitted his son Absalom to return to Jerusalem. However, Absalom spent 2 years in the city of Jerusalem with no contact from his father. Add those years up, and you have 5 years without contact between the two generations. The next chapter, 2 Samuel 15, tells us that David and Absalom finally met. After that meeting, however, they did not live happily ever after. Wanting to do his own thing, Absalom set out to turn the hearts of Israel away from his father and from their king. He plotted his father's overthrow. When Absalom thought the time was right to begin the rebellion, he went to his father David and asked for permission to travel south to the town of Hebron. He claimed that he was going there to worship the Lord, a bold-faced lie. He went to Hebron all right, and there he began the rebellion. Absalom had himself declared king in the place of his father, and civil war broke out throughout the whole land. To make a long story short, 2 Samuel 18 tells us that God enabled David's armies to squelch the rebellion. When Absalom saw that he had lost, he fled for his life on a mule. Now Absalom had extremely long hair, and as he was riding, his hair became entangled in the low-hanging branches of a tree. The mule went on, leaving Absalom suspended in midair. There he hung helplessly, until some of David's soldiers killed him. When the news was brought to David that his armies had put down the rebellion, but that his son had died, David cried out, "My son Absalom! My son Absalom! I wish I had died in your place! Absalom, my son! My son!" Did you ever daydream about being born into a royal family? Forget it. Castle walls and royal surroundings do not keep out intergenerational hurts. Family life is not always the stuff of fairy tales. We can see intergenerational hurts in our own homes, too. Often we see physical hurts that one generation inflicts upon another. Richard Gellies has written that people are more likely to be killed, physically assaulted, sexually victimized, hit, beat up, slapped or spanked in their own homes by other family members than anywhere else or by anyone else in our society. Sometimes the hurts that one generation inflicts upon another are not physically but developmentally devastating. Steven Anderson writes that unresolved issues within the family of origin not only interfere with the children's current adjustment, but also interfere with their ability to enter adult roles and relationships successfully later in life. Those two quotations are from scholars who have written about intergenerational hurts. Let me quote one more scholar, Leroy Howe. "We treat others, often our children included, either as intrusions or as mere means to our own satisfaction. The result in our young is an amorphous mass of unfulfilled craving and unclarified hope, a yawning, engulfing emptiness, a primordial howling, a spewing rage which cannot determine whether to hate the self which spawns the unmet needs, wants, and hopes, or to hate the others who withhold the means of their satisfaction." Mr. Howe's big scholarly words describe Absalom, a young man determined to do his own thing, but they also describe the hurts that are occurring in too many modern families, hurts that come because too many people of every generation are determined to do their own thing. We can see the hurts far more clearly than we can see what God is doing about them. Our sight is clouded. When Absalom's rebellion had just begun, King David fled eastward from Jerusalem. 2 Samuel 15:30 says, "David cried as he went up the Mount of Olives." 1,000 years later, a descendant of David, Jesus Christ, ascended to God from that same Mount of Olives. Luke 24 tells us that Jesus took his disciples to a place near Bethany. There, he raised his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken to heaven. The first chapter of Acts tells us that as Jesus was being taken to heaven, a cloud hid him so that they could no longer see him. We can see our problems so clearly, can't we? But we often can't clearly see what God is doing. Like David crying in his grief, like the first disciples losing sight of Jesus, our sight is often clouded. The ascension of Jesus Christ teaches us the necessity of faith. God calls you to live by faith in His Son, who took our sins to the cross and suffered the greatest hurt for sinners of every generation. The fact that God raised His Son Jesus from the dead and by the ascension enthroned Christ in heavenly glory is an invitation to you and me to live by faith in the ultimate victory of Christ's righteousness and not to accept the hurts of life as if they were the last word. Martin Luther writes about the ascension and about our hurts. "What now is our comfort? Christ, who has atoned for us and looks upon us and sees our enemies and reminds the Father that He is our portion. When we feel this in our conscience, we have a sure access to the Father in every need. We fail to see this only because our eyes are not sufficiently penetrating to pierce the clouds and look into heaven and be assured that Christ is our advocate. It is through faith that we know our Lord Jesus has earned forgiveness for every sinner of every generation. Sometimes we lose sight of our forgiving Savior. Sometimes we punish ourselves for the hurts we have caused in our families. When our eyes are able to see only the hurts, then we must pierce the clouds with faith and look into heaven and by faith see the scars on our ascended Lord Jesus, scars He received on the cross when He earned complete forgiveness for the hurts we sinners cause. It is through faith that we know that Christ lives forever and our eternal life will be with Him. Sometimes we lose sight of that eternal crown of life. Sometimes we forget that the promise of heaven means that all the hurts we suffer will one day be completely healed. when we are preoccupied with our present defeats, our tarnished crowns, our shattered dreams, then we must pierce the clouds with faith and look into heaven and by faith see that ours will be an unfading crown of glory. It is through faith that you and I know that we are born of royal lineage. By the gospel and baptism, you are made members of the ascended Lord's royal family. Sometimes we judge ourselves only by what we see. Who are you? Who am I? One more undistinguished face in the crowd, one more statistic in the computers of the world, one more person of no great importance. We forget that the one who ascended graciously calls us his brothers and sisters, and that he has ascended to his glorious Father and to our glorious Heavenly Father. It is faith that pierces the clouds and sees that we have been born by the gospel into a royal family. And finally, it is through faith that I am absolutely convinced that my family and yours can ascend in the months and years ahead. While so much in society around us is deteriorating, and so many families are filled with hurts, you and I, through faith in the Savior, can surmount the daily problems and one day ascend to be in the heavenly mansions forever. This is all through faith. There is no other way. Earlier I mentioned my daughter's birthday. There have been times when Elizabeth and our other daughter, Katie, were upset with Diane and me. At those times, their sights were focused upon whatever happened to be the aggravation between their generation and ours. Sometimes when that happened, we would ask them, "You don't like it here? In what family would you rather grow up?" In what family would you rather grow up? Sometimes we get hurt in our families. We talked about the physical and developmental hurts that are happening too often today. When we're focused upon the hurts we've received, yes, we'd like to be in another family. If you've been hurt, remember in faith that you belong to a royal, heavenly family. The ascended Lord Jesus is your brother, and your Father is a loving God. Talk with a Christian friend, a Bible-believing pastor, or a Christian counselor, for they are members of the royal family with you. They'll help you to deal with the hurt. They'll also remind you that your high calling as a Christian is not to seek revenge, but rather to forgive, even as you have been forgiven. And if you have caused hurt to another in your family, seek peace. Perhaps it will be possible for you to be reconciled to the one whom you have hurt. Perhaps it is not possible. King David was never able to be reconciled with his son Absalom. But in either case, let your faith pierce the clouds and seek forgiveness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In what family would you rather grow up? My dear Elizabeth, you know that I cannot be with you this evening to celebrate your 21st birthday. So go ahead, celebrate it with your friends and with your own generation. But tomorrow evening, I will be on your college campus and we'll have a celebration between generations. I love our family. I wouldn't want to be in any other. When I think about the blessings we continually receive from our Christian faith, I know that God's wish for every family is only good. Despite any hurts, the Christian family does not deteriorate from generation to generation. In Christ, every family ascends. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.